Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Parkhopper John from WDWParkhoppers.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast. My name is Parkhopper John, and I come to you from WDWParkhoppers.com. Joining me, as always, is my cohort in crime. He's my online wife. He's my bestest buddy, Mr. Tony Castelnova from Disney by the Numbers. How goes it, champ?
It is excelente. I am ready for an extended weekend in New Jersey.
Is that coming up for you?
Yeah, I'm leaving Friday. I'm leaving Friday on a jet plane.
Oh, nice.
I hope I can make it there.
I hope you can make it back. That's the
important. Oh, I'm coming back.
You're coming back like what, Tuesday?
Monday,
come back Monday?
Yeah, it's only for a family barbecue on Saturday. I figured I'd stay Sunday, and then it was cheaper to leave on Monday than it was on Sunday, so I stayed.
Well, I mean, it's an Italian family barbecue, so you're probably not going to be able to get on the plane because you're going to weigh more. You got to let some of that pass, brother.
I got to make my deposit in New Jersey.
That's right. Well, it is the Garden State.
That's right. Got to do a little fertilizing.
So tell us about this week's show, buddy.
Yep. We have an awesome show for you this week. We got a lot of good stuff. We got some good entertainment coming up this week as well. But, as always, this show is sponsored by our good friends, ThemeParkConcierge.com. They can help take the burden off of you, the planner of the family. Let somebody else do all that work. Let them go get the dining reservations and the fast passes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Find out everything they can do at www.ThemeParkConcierge.com. Or, if you're ready to book your trip, call Ramon at 407-257-9973, and don't forget to tell them that the Disney Parks Podcast sent you for 10% off your invoice. They can do every park here in Central Florida plus Disneyland. So what are you waiting for? Go out and call themeparkconcierge.com.
A dot com.
All right. Next up, next month, probably not that far from today, actually. August 20th, we are going to meet at Splitsville up on the second level area, we think, around 7 to 10. Look for either that face or this face, one of the two faces. We will be there. We're going to have some dinner. If you want to shoot some pool, you want to play a little bowling, whatever you want to do, or just hang out and have a couple cocktails and maybe eat or drink or whatever with us and just meet some new Disney friends and hang out with us. That's what we're going to do for the August meetup. Then on September 10th, we are selling tickets to the fireworks cruise. See, wishes, la, 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 wishes, la, la, la. I always think that they sound like the Children of the Corn. Come out September 10th. You have to buy a ticket for this event. Tickets, there's linked up on our Facebook event page. If very limited space, the boat only holds 10. There's already four of us, so we can only take probably six more of you. If we get more requests, we'll get then two boats and we'll divide and conquer. But that will be September 10th around 7 p.m. We're going to have to meet up, get all ready to go out on the cruise. So do that. Do it soon. If nobody is interested, we'll just cancel it.
No, we'll go anyway. Here you guys.
Or maybe we'll go anyway.
Right.
All right. We'll figure it out. All right. Last couple things is don't forget the Disney by the Numbers t-shirts at the club. John is wearing a Star Wars shirt. I was just telling our good friend, the designer, that I think something for October being that it's the 45th anniversary of the Magic Kingdom, that we should have a special Magic Kingdom retro shirt. So let's see what we can come up with. I think that might be a fun shirt for I actually want to do it in September so that you can wear it in October. So,
good call.
So if you want to sign up, please go to DisneyByTheNumbers.com. On the left-hand side, you'll see a thing for the Disney T-shirt Club. Just fill out the sign-up form, and that's all you have to do. You buy only the shirts you want to buy. There's absolutely no commitment at all to buy any of them. And last but not least, please share the show with your friends, family, coworkers. You can do it on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, or any of those kind of things. Wherever you get your show from, why don't you do this week? Share the show with one other person. That's all you have to do. Find somebody that you think might like the show and share it with them. That's all we're asking. All right, John, what else have we got going on?
I think that's it, my friend. I think it's just time for you and I to get into
the news.
And now, Disney Parks Podcast News.
It's pretty good. That's probably as close as we've been. At least on my end. I could never tell because there's a time delay.
Yeah, there is a little delay.
All right, sweet. All right, everybody. I know you're familiar with the Disney Parks packs. There's a new Disney Parks packs featuring decorative ear hat ornaments. You may recall the previously released Disney Park pack trading edition that was first introduced in May 2015. For this park pack, guests who sign up for this subscription service will receive one ear hat ornament each month, which is retail at $29.99. The monthly mystery ornament will be inspired by attractions or characters found inside of the Disney parks. For more information about that, you could check out DisneyStore.com/park pack. So this is a separate pack as opposed to the trading pack. This is a
correct
Disney ornament pack. So
yeah, back in the day, I don't think it was done through Disney. I think it was done through somebody else. I got an ornament every month as well. Actually, I think I gave you and Sarah some. I got rid of all my Disney ornaments, and I know what you're saying. Well, I don't put up a Christmas tree because I'm not here. I'm in New Jersey. And it kind of seemed futile to go through all the work of putting 300 ornaments on a Christmas tree.
Tony's very anti-Christmas.
I'm not anti-Christmas. I love Christmas. I just don't have time for a Christmas tree when I'm not here. And nobody will see it. So I'm glad to bring this back. Unfortunately, I don't think mine cost $29.99. I think mine were about $9.99 back in the day. And I must have had over 200 of these little things. I was doing it for years and years. And then Disney started digging deep into the vault, you know, scraping, you know, bottom of third tier characters out of the their mold archive to make, you know, decorations. So.
Yeah, and these are those ear hats. And we've got, I don't know if you could tell in the video, I've got one behind me. It's the, Ursula the hat, and it's signed by Pat Carroll. I don't think they're going to be sending anything that cool, but you know, hey, that's a great thing. If you're really into the ornaments, you don't want to miss one. I'd like to see what they send out. Hopefully it'll be something that you can't get in the parks.
Yeah.
They've got such a plethora of them. I'm not sure what they could do.
Yeah. It's going to be tough, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Food and Wine is around the corner. It's just that simple now. I mean,
yes, it is.
We're getting, we only have August and a little bit of September left. I booked, actually two events today, cause I have the privilege of booking early through my DVC Chase Tables in Wonderland affiliations. So I booked, two small things. One was, a culinary demo, with Fabrizio from the Four Seasons, only $15 to see the man in action.
Only $15.
Wow. And that is a steal. Now, here was the crazy thing. So there's a discount. All those things have a discount, except for anything that's on a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.
Weekends, man.
And then the other thing I booked was Mix It, Shake It, Celebrate It. And that is going to be with Marimoto from Marimoto Asia. Hi. And that was really only $49. So to see him in action, and not only see him in action, you're going to get to do what he does with him. So for $49, I'm thinking that's a steal. Get me a little Marimoto action, right?
Yes. Just make sure you call him Chef Morimoto.
Yes. Hi.
Yes.
So with that, all that being said, they've come up with the full lineup of the Eat to the Beat concert series. And here we go, kids. Strap it on. Ready? September 14, 15 is brand new this year, Wang Chung.
Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
Should we sing each song as we go along?
We'll be here all night. Nobody really wants to hear that.
All right, September 16th to the 18th is a Starship featuring a Mickey Thompson. September 19th to the 20th is Air Supply. September 21 to 23 is Bo Deans, who is new to Eat to the Beat. And I have no idea who Bo Deans is.
Right.
Number next, September 24th, 25th is Fuel Hemorrhage. Never heard of them.
Their song is called Hemorrhage.
Song is Hemorrhage. September 26th, returning a classic, Sugar Ray. Everybody loves a little Sugar Ray.
Yes.
Especially the women.
Yeah.
September 19th through the 30th, Los Lobos. October 1st to the 2nd is David Cook. October 3rd to the 4th, Wilson Phillips. Returning October 5th to the 6th is Blues Traveler. They only really play one song per set.
Yeah, per set. That's all they need.
Because they riff on that song and then time is up.
That's right. And they're all high, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, so be prepared for that. They don't really get a lot of their songs in.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to them. I did not see them last year.
They weren't here last year. They were here the year before, and they were they were actually coming off their tour. And that's why they didn't do anything last year. Right. October 7th to the 9th is Playing a White Tees, and they are new. And I think I'd like to see them. October 10th to 11th is 38 Special. October 12th to 13th, new, is Jeffrey Osborne. On the Wings of Love.
Number the two of us.
October 14th to the 16th, returning again, is Tiffany.
Oh, yay.
October 17th to the 19th, returning again, is Dennis DeYoung. October 20th, 21st is Christopher Cross. October 22nd to 23rd, Toad the Wet Sprocket is new.
What is up with that? They're bringing Toad the Wet Sprocket to Epcot. That's so crazy awesome.
I know. That is crazy. October 24th, 25th, you got Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan.
October 26th, 27th, you got Billy Ocean. October 28th, 29th is new this year, Living Color.
I am so excited. I was a young little park hopper, John, before I even knew what Disney was, I was a drummer who loved to play. I played, Living Color. Their first album the first album that was popular was Vivid. I played the crap out of that album.
Really?
Oh, my God. I love those guys. And
all right. I've never heard of them. Maybe I have.
Cult of Personality, you might know. You probably
probably if you play it.
That's going to be so awesome.
October 30th to November 1st, you have the Young Hansen brothers.
Hansen. Yes. They've got
and maybe they'll bring some of their Mbach beer. Again.
Yes, they've got some hop is at the festival.
November 2nd to the 3rd will be brand new on the stage, Soul Asylum.
Nice.
Also, November 4th to the 6th is new, Delta Ray. And then November 7th to the 9th, you got Boys to Men. November 10th to the 11th, Rick's favorite, Sister Hazel.
Can't wait.
And November 12th to the 14th, ending it always, is Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
You think that's a contractual thing?
I think it must be.
That's crazy.
Performances are nightly at 5:30, 6:45, and 8 p.m. Maybe Chase will do the thing. If you hop over there in the morning, you can get yourself a little reserved seating. And don't forget, this year, for the first time, they're doing Eat to the Beat dining packages for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So pick a meal, get a package, get a reserved seat. First time ever this year, they're doing all three meals. Nice. So that will also help you if you really want to see one of these people. I always say this is the best. I like to see all three sets if I can. If I'm going to see a band, I want to see all three sets. I may get reserved for one and then wait in line for the other or stand in the back for the other. But I like to see all three because sometimes the bands do different things. Like Night Ranger would do an acoustic set. You know, they would do all their hits up front. Then they would do some of their B-side, whatever you consider their B-side stuff. And then they do, like, all their hits acoustically.
Right.
Sometimes the bands change up. Sometimes they don't. But, you know, if you really like one of these bands, and I also say, this is free. This is part of your admission, technically. You don't right. have to give any money up, and you're going to see almost an hour show for free.
Right.
For it's all a win-win.
Of you, for all of you younger folks out there who have no idea what in the hell a B-side is, back in the day, there used to be these things called CDs.
Or records.
Before CDs were 8-track tapes. Before 8-track tapes were these things called records. And you would play the hit song on one side, and on the other side you would play maybe a not as popular song. Those were called B-side songs.
Because it was on the B-side.
B-side. That's right. You never know, man. This is crazy. Times we live
in. Yeah, I know. Sometimes you got to explain that.
Back before Pokemon Go.
Yes. All right.
So if you are like me and have a lot of magic bands, or maybe you're just tired of the color of your magic band and like to do something a little bit more snazzy to it, our friends at magicyourband.com can help you out. They have tons of great designs that they've created for your magic band, and they'll even use your artwork to create your own custom magic band for maybe a special occasion, or you know, you're celebrating, you have a family get together or something. They could take care of all that for you, and they've done a great option here for all of the listeners for the Disney Parks podcast, and they're already very economical prices. They're going to take 10% off if you use Disney Parks podcast at checkout. So go ahead, get your order, figure out what you want. If you need some help with the design, they can help you. They've got great text, great customer service. But when you type in Disney Parks podcast at checkout, they'll give you 10% off. Just let them know that you heard about them from us. We would appreciate that. Disney Parks podcast at checkout at magicyourbands.com. Yeah. And for those of you who are Muppet fans, we have some very exciting news. Pizza Rizzo opening this fall at Disney's Hollywood Studio. If you're a pizza lover, you know, you can now just rejoice because Pizza Rizzo will open this fall in the Muppets Courtyard at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Well, what was once the former Toy Story Pizza Planet location, moment of silence. Rizzo the Rat now owns and operates this pizzeria where guests can grab a pizza pie and a cold drink. You enjoy a casual Italian-American. Oh, my God.
No.
Sorry. You can enjoy a casual Italian dining experience in a whole new way through the eyes of the lovable, wisecracking Muppets. Walt Disney Imagineering had hints of Rizzo, his extended family and friends who have visited Pizza Rizzo over the years throughout the two-story quick service location. In addition to the expansive indoor and outdoor seating area, guests will be able to dine in a quote-unquote cheesy buffet room or take five in a special booth designated just for Rizzo's celebrity friends. So this is nice. I mean, yes, we lost Pizza Planet, but we're getting Toy Story Land. Yeah. So this is nice that they're bringing in the Muppet thing. I love that they're keeping the Muppets around.
Yeah.
It's a big
thing. There's a rumor that they were going to add the Muppets to the Hall of Presidents, too. But, I, you know, this is the thing. And listen, I know it's fake, but do I want a rat making my pizza? That's like a Ratatouille restaurant. Do I want a rat making my food?
Anyone can cook.
Jan can cook.
Yeah.
Listen, they have to do it because they're going to make a maybe not a Pizza Planet, but something like that over in the Toy Story Land, I believe. That would be my guess. That's why, you know, it was fine to take that. And that's why I think there was not a lot of uproar either. People were like, yeah, fine. We get it. You're going to build a Toy Story Land. You'll put something over there. At least that's what I'm hoping. Otherwise, I will be upset. All right. If you would like to help support the show, you can do so by visiting us at patreon.com/Disney Parks Podcast. There's also a link on our website at thedisneyparkspodcast.com. We'd like to thank all of our current contributors, David, Stacy, Willie, and Eva. We appreciate you and thank you for your support. Hey, talking about more food and wine, starting July 21st, if you could get to think of.
You got to lay off the hard ciders, buddy. It's starting to affect you.
You can then book all of your little food and wine events starting at 7 a.m. And I would get on the phone a little bit earlier because I did this today and there was already a 20-minute wait, 20 minutes before it started. And then I went, you know, had to wait. Anyway, call 407-939-3378. Which is 407-WDW-FEST. And if you're a Disney visa or thing, you could have done it today. You can still do it today, which today will be Wednesday by the time you hear this. So today will be over. Anyway, this is what you can book. You can book the new Mix It, Make It, Celebrate It, which is a hands-on workshop giving guests the opportunity to learn from the pros, whether it's cake decorating, garnishing, cocktail mixing, and other fun activities. The ever-popular cheese seminars are back. There's also the Rocking Burger Block Party. And I think we should try this year, John, if you guys want to give it a whack.
I think it's a pretty good idea.
I think we should give that a whack. There's also the Yellowween, which will be the party for the census on October 28th and 29th. This year, the party for the census will be every weekend in October. Not select weekends, every weekend in October.
Wow.
Starting October 8th. And they will have chefs from all over, you know, coming to the party of the census. Also this year, returning is What's Cooking With... And then you can insert a celebrity chef. I think we've run down this list already in our pre kind of food and wine. But yeah. I'll just give you the list... Some of the names that are coming, like Elizabeth Faulkner, Brian Battaggio, Robert Irvine, Graham Elliott, Buddy Velastro, Kat Cora, Andrew Zimmer, Jeffrey Zakarian is new this year, Alex Cornishelli. Those are some of the bigger names off that list. So these are on Fridays or Sundays this year, and this is my belief. It's going to be a plated breakfast dinner. You're going to get the same thing every time you go. So if you go to two or three of these, you'll probably get the same thing. And then the chef will demonstrate how to cook something and then do a Q&A. And that will be it this year. And it's at 9 a.m. in the morning. No, I take that back. It's starting at 9:15 in the morning and going until 10:45. So if you want to go see one of those, go check that out. There are some discounts for tables in Wonderland, but like I found out, there's no discounts on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday events. So ask. They're also doing DVC and Chase cardholder discounts as well. So that's it. It all happens July 21st. Take a roll on the phone. Hello. Yes, I like the book.
Dude. Okay, you're cut off. Hey, did you get your D23 tickets?
I'm not sure yet. I'm waiting to hear from Robin, see if they're going to.
Right.
If they're going, I think we may make it.
Yeah, I think we're both you and I are waiting to find out what the plan is.
Yeah.
So D23 Expo 2017 tickets are now available. Tickets went on sale on the 14th of July for the Expo 2017, which will take place next year from July 14th through the 16th at the Anaheim Convention Center. D23 is once again looking forward to bringing all of Disney's wonderful worlds together under one roof as they celebrate all things Disney, including Pixar, Marvel, Lucasfilm, ABC, Disney Channel, and so much more. Discounted tickets are available now through December 31st, and members of D23's official fan club, receiving even greater savings for this amazing event. Once again, D23 looks forward to presenting the Disney Legends Awards ceremony, honoring talented men and women who have made indelible contributions to the Disney legacy, and also an exhibit from the Walt Disney Archives and the Masquerade Costume Contest. So that's just a little taste of what's going on. I didn't go to D23 last year.
Yeah,
I should have, because it was when Star Wars was coming out. But you know what? I'd love to go back. It's hit and miss, man. I like to just walk around the consumer products area. That place is just—it's unbelievable to see the new stuff they come up with.
Yeah, we'll probably talk about this more when they start announcing some of the events that they're going to have. But you cannot see everything at the expo. It is absolutely impossible. If you're buying a ticket, if it's the first time you're going, put that out of your head. Pick one or two things per day that you must see, and then toss the rest of the list into the garbage, because you will never get to it. It's not possible. That is my warning to you. Set your expectations very, very low, because then when you get to do things, you'll be above the bar. You'll feel like you've accomplished something. That's sadly the way it is. There's just way too many people at that event. Hey, we have a contest winner. John King sent in the correct answer, and the answer was 46 days in operation was the Mickey Mouse Club Circus, and it's the shortest live attraction in Disney history so far. So if you knew that answer, congratulations. There were some other people that had given us answers to that, which we'll give them a little shout out later. But John King, you are the winner. If you can, Google Mickey Mouse Club Circus and look at some of the pictures of what this attraction looked like.
Right.
It looked kind of weird.
Yeah, and listen and read the story on it. It was it was one of those weird failed Disney. I mean, it made sense on paper, but then, you know, Walt was like, why would people do that? Why would they come here to do this? So it's a fascinating story.
Yep. Now, this week's prize was a special prize. It was The Ultimate Guide to an Affordable Disney World Vacation by Kevin Barry. And this Friday, we're going to have an interview with Kevin telling us all about his book. So go check him out at thefrugalmouse.com. And thank you, Kevin, for donating that little prize. That was very good.
Sweet.
Okay, this week's trivia contest. I'm going to keep it back in Disneyland because they're kind of celebrating their anniversary. And can you tell us how many monorails were operational on opening day in 1955 at Disneyland? And the key word is operational. Okay. And if you can tell us what version of the monorail it was called back in 1955, maybe there's some bonus points in there for you. Okay. Hit us up at DisneyParksPodcast@gmail.com. We'll also post it on Facebook, and you can make your comments there. We'll post it on the blog, and you can make your comments there. So you have three different ways to get us your answer. All right, John. Hey, Halloween is just around the corner.
Love it. My favorite time of year at Disney.
And returning is Club Villain is coming back. I wish they would just leave the place open year-round, but that's not up to me. So if you want to celebrate with the Villains this year, up for celebrating Halloween at Disney Park? Yes, please. You don't want to miss out on what Club Villain has in store at Disney's Hollywood Studios. On Friday and Saturday nights from September 2nd all the way to October 29th and also on October 31st, Sunset Showcase will host Club Villain, a special ticketed event filled with fabulous performances, delicious food, bewitching cocktails, and enchanting encounters with some legendary, wait for it, legendary Disney villains. The mysterious Dr. Filicillier will serve as the host again, welcoming his guests and friends from the other side into his parlor of mystical mishaps with musical numbers and a wicked mix from the house DJ. Also stopping by to socialize will be seven divas of evil, Maleficent, the Queen of Hearts. And last time, it was a face character, Queen of Hearts. Not the big bobblehead, but a face Queen of Hearts. Cruella de Vil, the evil queen, and guests can also enjoy complimentary drinks from the Potions Bar, savor culinary delights from New Orleans and beyond, mingle with the villains, and dance the night away. Two club villain experiences will be held each Friday and Saturday night. Starting times will be either 5:15 and 8:30 p.m., and guests can learn more and make reservations by calling 407-WDW-DINE. What do you think?
I think we should do this. I missed out on it last year. I'm not sure
if you did. I didn't go either last time.
We should definitely. Things are happening in my world that it's going to be a lot easier for us to get together and do things like this. So, yeah, definitely want to do this. I'm wondering if some of the Disney villains they didn't mention, I wonder if Michael Eisner will be there.
I don't know. That'd be kind of neat. Or Ginger, because she snaps. I don't know.
That'd be kind of nice. It'd be kind of interesting to see that.
Or Lotso, maybe?
Lotso Huggin' Bear and his strawberry stink. Okay, moving forward. Disney.
Is it strawberry or raspberry?
Strawberry. I have one on my shelf. I'll grab it for you and smell it for you if you'd like.
I like it.
Smells like dust. And strawberries. Strawberries. So Disney Early Morning Magic is now coming to Disney's Hollywood Studios. Earlier this year, Disney Early Morning Magic was launched at the Magic Kingdom to give eager guests the opportunity to pay, excuse me, I'm sorry, I misread that, the opportunity to be among the first to experience theme park attractions and breakfast inside the park. Today, we're happy to share with you that not only has Disney Early Morning Magic been extended through September 30th of 2016 for the Magic Kingdom, cha-ching, but now Disney's Hollywood Studio will soon offer their version of Disney Early Morning Magic as well. This will begin on August 1st. I should not read the chat room and try to read this at the same time. Alonzo Hawk. Beginning August 1st, a select number of guests can experience Disney Early Morning Magic. God, that name just rolls off the tongue.
I know.
At Disney's Hollywood Studios, beginning at 7:45 a.m., guests can enter the park and experience Star Tours, The Adventure Continues, Toy Story Mania, Pixar Place Character Greetings with Woody and Buzz, and Mickey and Minnie on Commissary Lane, and Olaf at Celebrity Spotlight. So you can ride two rides and meet a few characters. Guests can also partake in an all-you-care-to-enjoy breakfast at the ABC Commissary from 8 to 10 a.m. Park guests can begin booking the Disney Early Morning Magic for Disney's Hollywood Studios starting today. Well, sorry, you can already do this. The number of tickets available for each morning is limited, so visit disneyworld.com/earlymorningmagic to reserve or call 407-827-7350 for more information. Now, please note that a theme park ticket is required in addition to the Disney Early Morning Magic ticket. Disney Early Morning Magic is also a separate experience than the extra magic hours, which are held on different days. If that's not as clear as mud, kids, I just don't know what is.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a morning person. This would never work for me. I mean, I think you have to be there. Well, it starts at 8. So you're going to have to get up earlier because you're going to have to get on some kind of Disney transportation that's going to take you an hour to get there. So it's just crazy. And for two attractions and, what, three meet and greets?
Right. So let me ask you this question, buddy. Let's just.
I think the nighttime thing was better.
True. Let's go to Bizarro Land for a second. Let's just assume for a second.
I thought we were there.
That A, you would get up early enough in the morning, and B, let's assume that you had your own transportation, so you didn't have to do with Disney buses. And you got to the park at 7:45. Would your plan be to, one, hit the rides and then eat and then do characters? Or would you eat first and then do the rides and characters?
I'd probably do Toy Story Mania and then go eat.
Yeah.
And then go back and do the other ride and the other meet and greet.
I would probably do Toy Story Mania, then go eat, then go back and try to do Toy Story Mania again.
Yeah.
And then maybe try to meet and greet a couple of guests. Yeah. I don't, you know.
If I had my, thing, I would just go, I'd go on Toy Story Mania. I'd probably go and eat. And like you said, I would go back to Toy Story Mania. I'd go there and then go do the character meet and then just ride Toy Story Mania as long as I possibly could until they threw me off.
Right, that's the thing. Now, you know,
because we don't get to ride it that often, so I'd want to be on it all the time.
Right. Yeah. If you visit, and this is going to be funny. If you don't live near Disney, this is going to make absolutely no sense to you. Yeah. But for those of you who are listening, who are pass holders, you're going to be like, yeah, right. Yeah. We don't get to ride Toy Story Mania that much because it's impossible for us to get. You know, we only get a certain allotment of passes, and because of that whole 180 days out thing that all the park guests are doing.
Yeah, we only get 30 days.
Yeah, we don't get a lot of passes to ride it. So what Tony and I are discussing is how we would do it because we live here and we would not care so much to eat. We would want to keep riding Toy Story Mania because that would be our fix for the year pretty much. Yeah. Because I think I only ride that ride maybe once or twice a year.
Yeah.
If I'm lucky. Yeah.
I would probably eat breakfast before I even got there just so I could ride Toy Story Mania more and just, you know, on my way out, grab some croissants.
Right. Right.
You know? And you don't get a lot of time also, you know, usually, not all the time, but usually the Buzz and Woody line is pretty long. I was able to squeeze in there the other day, so it wasn't too bad. You okay, John? You disappeared. Oh, okay. All right, next up we have a new event, which is interesting. If you're an Animal Kingdom Savannah lover, the new Savor the Savannah at Disney's Animal Kingdom offers you a private tour and exclusive viewing and an Africa-inspired culinary delight. This premium offering affords guests a private two-hour tour through the 110 Harambe Wildlife Reserve with a spectacular world of creatures such as gentle giraffes, playful wild dogs, and regal lions roaming about. This leisurely paced and knowledgeable Harambe guide helped to ensure that no one misses the array of exotic animals in a variety of unique habitats. The safari vehicle will stop frequently for the best wildlife viewing and photo opportunities, and the guide will point out fascinating facts along the way. A highlight of this adventure is a stop for dinner at the exclusive viewing area. Here, guests will enjoy a selection of regional beers, wines, and specialty drinks, and savor the African-inspired tapas right in the middle of the breathtaking savanna. It's a bounty of flavors bursting with delectable tastes and textures. After the journey, the guests will receive a special keepsake memento for their unforgettable evening. The cost for this exclusive and very limited to 12 people, is $169 per person. Each participant. Yep. Each participant must be at least 8 years old, with a valid theme park admission is required on top of your $169. To book this reservation, please call 407-WDW-TOUR or visit disneyworld.com/tours. And they were also doing this. This is a new tour, but they were also doing it for DVC members for free on select nights, I think. But it ran from like, I don't know, like it started at 10 and went to like midnight. And I'm thinking, do I really want to be in the Magic Kingdom at midnight? Or the Magic Kingdom, the Animal Kingdom at midnight on a truck in the middle of the savannah where I can't see the animals? No.
Well, it's not that bad. You know it's not that bad. You're on that tour with me.
Well,
it's not
dark.
Great. Yeah. It's dark. I get that. I totally get that. Hey, if you're watching us live, you can always come to DisneyParksPodcast.com and chat with us during the show. We got a message that some people are watching the show on YouTube and trying to chat with us, and we're not on YouTube chatting. We're actually chatting over at DisneyParksPodcast.com. So if you're watching there, come on over, and you can watch and listen there, too. A little shout-out. So, like we mentioned before, it's starting to we're starting to plan for Halloween, which is one of my favorite times here at Walt Disney World. And you can always tell when it's starting to get time for Halloween because Disneyland makes their announcement first every year. So, for those of you who are on the West Coast, scare up some fun this Halloween time at the Disneyland Resort, starting September 9th, running through October 31st. Mickey's Halloween Party guests can enjoy trick-or-treating, the exclusive Halloween screams, fireworks, and more. And new this year, the Headless Horseman of Sleepy Hollow from Disney's animated feature, The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad, will make a spooky ride through the heart of Disneyland Park each night of the party. Now be sure to purchase your Mickey's Halloween Party ticket early and mark your calendars for the following dates. Now, here's a couple dates you need to keep in mind. July 21st. Tickets go on sale at Disneyland Resort annual pass holders, Disney Rewards Visa card holders, and Disney Vacation Club members. On the 28th of July, tickets go on sale to the general public for Mickey's Halloween Party, and those dates are going to be the 23rd, the 26th, the 28th, the 30th, and then in October, they're going to be the 3rd, the 5th, the 7th, the 10th, the 12th, the 14th, the 17th, 19th, the 21st, the 24th, the 26th, 29th, and obviously October 31st. We'll have those dates in the show notes. And also remember that parking is not included in the ticket price. Parking fees will apply for those dates. And we don't have the notes here, but I read something somewhere of some of the offerings that they're offering at Disneyland's Halloween time this year are a little bit different. I didn't see the overlay for Nightmare Before Christmas. Now, I don't know if that's...
Are they planning for rioting?
I don't know. Well,
you know those fanatical AP holders out in Disneyland, man. They will riot if there's no Christmas overlay.
I'll have to do some research on that. That might just be a rumor that I just, for some reason, remember reading. But, yeah, that I thought that was strange. I didn't see that. And I'm pretty sure they're doing, you know, the Space Coast.
Hyperspace.
Mountain. You know, I don't know if they're doing this, the ghost version of that with their Hyperspace Mountain overlay. But we'll see. We'll see. I'll do some research on it. We'll get back to you next week and let you know.
Yeah, because that would be highly weird for them. Hey, you know, last week, I think it was, we were talking about those new fuel rods going around the parks, the theme parks. Disney Springs has something a little bit different. Guest relations, so the fuel rods have been dominating, you know, with all the rage in the park. But guests are now going to have the chance to rent them. This has not been rolled out yet, but guest relation locations at Disney Springs will have the option to leave their devices for charging, but never have they been able to rent phone chargers to guests. Disney Springs is currently testing the program under which guests can head into the guest relations, choose if they would rather leave their device to charge or borrow a charger. If the guest chooses to borrow the charger, they can leave a $35 deposit and then take the charger with them. And when the guest is done with the charger, they can return it and get their full deposit back. Now, also, there are three guest relations locations right now. There's one in the old marketplace area. I don't even know what they're calling that area anymore, where it used to be. There's one in Town Center, and then there's one in the Disney Quest building. So there's three places to get them. So The next time you're at Disney Springs and you need a little boost, I would, you know, go to one of the guest relation places and ask them about this and see if you can test it out. We'd love to hear about it. If you do it, you know, email us, DisneyParksPodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear. The charger is pretty small. It's only a 2200 amp battery capacity. They are pre-charged by Disney for, you know, for your use, ready to use. And then Guest Relations does have a few iPhone and Android device USB cords available too, in case you, you know, didn't bring one with you, which you probably didn't. Or if you have your own you know, cord, you can use that too. We'll see. I'd like to see this rolled out. I don't know if I'd like – do you like the buy the fuel rod and then you have to keep going to a place to get a new one? Or do you like the just rent it and then just give it back?
I like the idea of buying the fuel rod and being able to trade it in for a new one while I'm in the park. I don't know if – can you take the fuel rod home and plug it in and recharge it on your own? I don't remember that story.
Yes, the fuel rod can you take it back to your hotel room. You can take it back home. You can recharge it. You can it's essentially yours. I mean, you could use it outside the park, and then anytime you go to the park, and it needs a charge, you just drop it in and get a new one. So I don't know. I'm not sure which one I would like better. Listen, there are a ton of chargers on the market.
Right.
I mean, I got one from Amazon. And I don't think it was $35, and it could charge two phones simultaneously. Right. So, you know.
Comes in handy when you're with a friend.
Yeah.
And that's if you could charge your phone twice as fast.
and it does do that. It has one side. It's got like one little lightning. That's a regular charge. And then it's got one that's got two lightnings, which is a supercharge. So. If you've done either one of these, if you rent it or you're using the fuel rod, and you'd like to come on the show and tell us about it, I'd really love to have you on. Just let us know. Shoot us an email. Hit us up on Facebook or whatever.
Love to hear you. Love to hear your story.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm about to tell you possibly some of the greatest news that I've read
I saved this specifically for you, John. Because I know you've been there, and I know you can tell us about this.
Yes. There is a restaurant. Okay, so when you go to Orlando, not like – Disney's not in Orlando. Universal is technically in Orlando, but I'm talking like Orlando proper. When you're downtown in Orlando and you go just north of there, you go into a small suburb called Winter Park. And Winter Park is known for a lot of its really kitschy, cool little restaurants, you know, gastro pubs and brew houses. And one of them is called the Ravenous Pig. The Ravenous Pig, for those people who do not consume swine, will not enjoy themselves. But for those of you who are down with the pork, this restaurant is so good. We went there for Valentine's Day, Park Hopper Sid and I did, and it was unbelievable. It was so good. We had a bourbon-infused Manhattan. Oh, no, it was old-fashioned. It was an old-fashioned with bourbon-infused, with a bacon-infused bourbon. Ooh. Oh my good Lord in heaven. It was so good. And it had a chunk of bacon. Oh Jesus, that's ridiculous. So anyway, so the owners of the Ravenous Pig have done the unthinkable. I am getting ready to go into massive debt because the Polite Pig, from the creators of the Ravenous Pig, are opening up at Disney Springs here in Walt Disney World. Husband. Tearing up as I'm thinking about it. Oink, oink. Husband and wife chefs James and Julie Petrakis, please forgive me if I'm screwing that up, who have won wide acclaim for their Winter Park, Florida restaurant, Cask and Larder, and the Ravenous Pig, two great restaurants, will expand their swine family restaurant group to Disney Springs with a brand new concept called the Polite Pig. Partnering with the James Beard Foundation, nominated chefs will be Brian Petrakis, who owns and operates popular Orlando eatery Greens and Grill. The partnership unites the Petrakis brothers and on a restaurant venture for the very first time. Scheduled to open in spring of 2017, The Polite Pig will feature a variety of wood-fired, smoked, and grilled items. The restaurant will also include an innovative beverage program that serves all drinks on tap, including cask and larder, beer, wine, and cocktails.
Wow.
Hang on just a second. I just need a moment.
Okay. I also think they're doing something at the stadium, Camping World Stadium. I think they have a concession at Camping World Stadium too.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. So as a locally based restaurant group, it's great to bring our new concept to Disney Springs while we'll have the opportunity to showcase genuine Florida cuisine for guests from all over the world, said James Petrakis. With so many talented chefs operating new restaurants at Disney Springs, we're really excited to be part of a group helping Orlando distinguish itself as a world-class culinary destination, end quote. The Polite Pig will be located in the Town Center neighborhood. The 5,000-square-foot venue will be open daily, seating around 200 guests.
That's pretty big.
It's going to be outstanding.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've eaten at Cask and Larder. They did a Funky Buddha brunch there, and it was incredible. The beers were okay. The Cask and Larder beers were okay.
Oh, yeah.
When you're going up against Funky Buddha, it's really kind of tough. I mean, there's a picture if you went to seek it out on one of my social media platforms of me face down on a table. And all of the beer tasters that they had. I mean, we just had a table full of beer. That was ridiculous. I cannot wait for this. This, you know, Morimoto's amazing. Not the Art Smith place. The Cucina. Frontera, that's the word. Frontera Cucina, and then Art Smith's new place.
Yes.
All going to be great, great successes. This Ravenous Pig is such a niche place. I think it's going to just blow people's minds. I cannot wait.
Yeah. I'm telling you, for us locals, Disney Springs is going to be the place to be if we can, A, find a place to park, and B, get there. Because I think I'm interested to see what it's going to be like this Christmas. Because that will set the mark for what to expect, because it's just going to be chaos and mayhem. But we'll see. Hey, I don't use my Disney Experience app much. Usually for either making dining reservations or getting a fast pass. I don't have much other use for it. Now, the other thing we had mentioned a long, long time ago was that Disney was whittling down the places to get maps when you're at a park. And I think phase B is being implemented. Okay. So the My Disney Experience app is launching now innovative step-by-step navigation, which I mean think is going to make the park map go bye-bye. You will not be able to get a park map. And that's going to be a shame because I always liked holding a park map. So the big plans are that My Disney Experience app would give you these directions. So starting Monday, July 18th, the app will begin guiding guests around the resort, whether you are walking or driving, or utilizing even Disney transportation. The new feature will be able to direct guests to theme parks, water parks, resorts, the transportation and ticket center, Disney Springs, attractions, characters, dining, restrooms, entertainment, events, tours, photo pass, guest services, recreation, shopping, and spas. All of that from the little tiny app. The version 3.6 of the My Disney Experience app will give guests the ability to use this new feature. The new feature can be accessed in the app by clicking the buttons labeled Get Directions or Start Walking. Get Directions will give guests Disney transportation options to various locations, or the Start Walking will give guests walking directions to their destination. the function will not give driving directions for guests with their own vehicles. Now, that's just ludicrous. If you're, I guess they don't want to be responsible for you getting into an accident in your vehicle on their property. So they've legally opted themselves out of that legal finasco. So I think it's a matter of time before the maps go away. They really are. But it'll be interesting because will you be able to, if you're lost or can't find what you're looking for, will there be enough cast members? Are there still enough cast members left in a park that you can ask somebody, hey, where is Mission Space or where is, you know, Tom Sawyer's Island or, you know, whatever? Because I find today that really the only cast members you find are in shops, restaurants, or attractions. They're not really walking around Main Street anymore, you know, unless they're picking up trash. Right. There's really not a lot of them, you know. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I understand that they're going to have to rely more and more on technology, and they're trying to be a little bit more green. I do understand that that's a factor, but there's still a large contingent of the population who are not tech savvy.
Yeah.
And it's going to be harder and harder for those people to have as good of an experience. So I hope that Disney doesn't completely get rid of the paper system, mm-hmm. because there's going to be a lot of people who absolutely cannot deal with the technology. It'll take them another generation maybe. So we've got, what, another 20 years, maybe 25 years max.
Yeah.
You know, then they should probably be able to close it down.
I just opened up my app and this is what I got. So it's already being rolled out.
Right. I was grabbing mine to do it too. I haven't done
that. So dining is now made easier too.
Nice.
3.6. I like that idea.
Nice.
And fast pass selections got easier. I don't know how much easier it can get, kids. Unless you just hand them out in the front of the park. Which I would like that. If you could just do that. That would be easier. Just give one to everybody. So we'll have to see. I will give it a shot. Obviously not this weekend because it won't be here, but I will give it a shot and see what happens.
Excellent. Excellent. So
hey, this next section is all rumors, John.
All of them.
All of them are rumors. Yeah. All different kinds of rumors.
All right. So we're going to start into the rumors. I don't have a rumor alarm. I could pull one, but I don't have a rumor alarm. So here's the first rumor. Not exactly what I was going for, but thanks. Disney All-Star Sports Resort has been added, has added a way for a guest Magic Band to interact with the resort's decor. A trophy case on the wall now changes to show a magazine cover with the guest name on it when the screen is activated by the band's RFID chip, tracking you up one side and down the other. All right, moving forward, rumor number two, the Magic Kingdom Toll Plaza area is getting some major work. Permits were filed to add major additions and improvements to the roads entering and exiting the Magic Kingdom. Also in the works, but not shown in the plans, is an entire new toll booth plaza. This road work seems to be part of a much larger project in that area, and I seem to remember us talking about a flyover lane.
Yeah, I think the toll plaza is going to move. It's going to shift to the left. And to the right is going to be just a straight area to right to the hotels. I think it's going to go. I think it's going to. I'm going to move it a little bit.
Right through there? Okay.
Yep.
Next up is the moving of the Leave a Legacy stones in front of Spaceship Earth. This is way. The stones, which many Disney fans call an eyesore, are set to be moved for a new entrance look at Epcot.
I call them the tombstones.
The tombstones of death.
Yeah. I say, I asked cast members, I said, can you tell me who's buried underneath here? And they look at me really weird.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I said, it looks like a tombstone.
Now, what are they going to do? Didn't you have to purchase those little plaques?
You purchased that little 1-inch by 1-inch square,
right?
Your face. I don't know. I don't know. I thought there's a lot of places that this can go, and it could be outside the park in an area that, you know, it doesn't have to take up that park space anymore.
Right. They could put it out in, like, the grass area, and they could call it Epcot Henge.
Yeah. There's lots of places they can put it.
They could make a sundial of it.
Yeah. They could put them around Disney Springs. They can there's a lot of things they could do, but they don't need to go there anymore.
They can tie them to the feet of the Imagineers who can't seem to get out their butts and get Avatar Land finished.
Or Rivers of Light.
And dump them into Rivers of Light, yeah, and dump them into a deep, deep trench.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, as we celebrate the grand opening of the next attraction down the road.
And hotel. Which is already open.
Not even get started.
Yeah.
Also in the world of rumors and updates, Interventions is on our list again. It has been a collection of empty areas with a few meet and greets. Some of All Thrills is said to close before the end of the year, which means they could get a start on whatever is coming to the empty areas of Interventions by the end of the year. No specifics are given, but that place needs something. It's just an eyesore. It's just a place that you can just walk through to get some air conditioning, and during the festivals, you get your free stuff there. That's pretty much all it is.
They should really, really, truly, truly be ashamed of themselves, of what Interventions really is right now. It really should be. That is not what that vision was. I mean, when I was a kid, that's where you found all the cool things that you always wanted to get your hands on, and that my father had to grab me by my shirt collar and drag me out of there because there was so much cool things in there. That as a kid, I was like, oh, yeah, let's try that. Let's try this. And now it's like nothing. There's nothing.
So now I understand that technology is moving way faster than they could do a park attraction.
But it's a great money grab for them. They could have companies come in and listen. You know, like Alphabet, Google, you know, come in and build a thing and show us all the new technologies that are coming. Tesla. Come in and show us new car innovations. I mean, think of the money they could get from those sponsors. I mean, Tesla's got some pretty deep pockets. I don't think, Musk would mind up giving a couple million dollars to showcase his cars and sell a few on Food and Wine weekends.
Right. I have late breaking news we probably want to talk about before we get out.
Okay.
Also, we got two more little quickies. Yep. Mission Space is said to be getting some much needed updates, but they will keep the same thing. So they're not going to do the whole Guardians of the Galaxy, which probably would have made more sense. But what do I know? The ride will get some nice updates during a refurbishment to bring it up to today's speed and technology. So that'll be nice.
Yep.
And finally, we knew it was coming. Permits for a new entrance to the parking lots at Disney's Hollywood Studios were filed. This also came along with permits for major road reconfiguration in that area. Construction has already begun on the access road for the construction vehicles in the backside of Disney's Hollywood Studios. So that's good. I mean, we knew we were going to lose that entrance for Star Wars.
Yep.
So yeah.
Yeah, I think they're also going to expand that parking lot. I haven't seen those plans yet, but I'll have to go look. Because I think that it's the smallest parking lot of all four parks. It's only like 7,500 cars can fit in there. And that is in today's day and age, that's small.
Right.
Do you want to do your late breaking or you want to finish up with what we got?
Los Angeles Magazine is reporting that the home where Walt Disney founded his first studio is set to be demolished.
What?
So, new owners have requested a demolition permit for Walt Disney's first home in California. The well-preserved 1914 Craftsman bungalow at 4406 Kingswell Avenue in Los Feliz belonged to Walt's Aunt Charlotte and Uncle Robert Disney, who in July of 1923 invited their young nephew to board in their home at a rate of $5 per week as he pursued his dream of becoming a film director. The two-story, 1458 square foot home would stay in the Disney family for the next 50 years. And when the family sold it in 1977, they described it as having lots of wood trim, fireplace, and cheery breakfast room. The home exhibits tremendous architectural integrity with the same porch, gables, shingles, windows, and beveled glass door that greeted 22-year-old Walt Disney. According to the Los Angeles County Assessor, the property was sold 2 months ago to Sang Ho and Crystal Yu of Studio City, who submitted plans on Friday for a new two-story, one- or two-family home that they plan to build on the site.
Wow.
In November, the City of Los Angeles Survey LA program declared the property eligible for National Register of Historic Places for its role as Walt Disney's first studio in California. The same city planning department is now considering issuing a permit for its destruction.
I hope somebody has pictures and archived and cataloged and, you know, has stuff and blueprints. I don't know. I hope somebody from the Disney company did something before it gets destroyed. I guess it was this past weekend. I was at Homecoming, Florida Kitchen, and Southern Shine.
Yeah, come on.
The restaurant is done by the chef, celebrity chef Art Smith, who was Oprah's personal chef for 10 years. I am going to say this to you. It is number two on my places to go at Disney Springs. Marimoto, number one. This place is number two. The food, we were there for lunch. So you can get entrees for lunch, but I just didn't want that much to eat in the middle of the day. It was very, very hot. So I just stuck with a sandwich. I had the fried chicken sandwich with homemade potato chips, and it was spectacular. I started off with hush puppies as an appetizer. Spectacular. And then I ended up with homemade donuts, little fried donuts. Spectacular. I also had a, what did they call it? It wasn't a Moscow Mule. Oh, it was a Mule Shine. So it was like Moscow Mule meets moonshine. Spectacular. So I'm just going to tell you this. Go to this restaurant for lunch or for dinner, whatever. Either one. I think the inside is very nice. They have some outside seating as well. It overlooks the springs. We sat at a table right next to the springs, which were all the way in the back of the restaurant, which was, I think, probably one of the better places to sit. They have a pretty big bar, too. You can eat at the bar. So if they're on tables, see if you can grab a stool at the bar. I'm just telling you, go there. You'll really, really, really enjoy it. That's all I have to say. Just go there. Trust me. If you don't like it, write to DisneyParksPodcast@gmail.com and tell me why. Okay, that's it. I'm done. I'm off all right. I'm off the shine soapbox.
Okay, in our final story, something that we all kind of knew was coming. I've had a lot of conversations about this with some of my people that I talk to when I drive. Wink, wink. Walt Disney World is surveying guests about a possible Disney-operated Uber-style transportation service. Walt Disney World may soon test the waters on an Uber-type transportation service for guests. The service would be resort-to-resort only in theory, allowing guests without cars the opportunity to skip the double bus ride it would usually take to go from resort to resort. The service would obviously be a paid one, but for a fee, guests would have access to it for the duration of the vacation. This concept and several others are currently being litmus tested in surveys sent to Walt Disney World guests. So it's unknown if and when this will take shape and exactly what the finished product might entail. One would imagine that the Mears taxi service that often is utilized at resorts may not be happy about this.
Well, good for them.
Good for them. So full disclosure.
Full disclosure,
I drive on occasion for Uber. Wednesdays, I'm in Orlando, and I record another podcast in the afternoon. So I go over early, and I Uber in the morning, and then I might Uber in the late afternoon just to make a little bit extra money, make the drive over to Orlando worth
it. Now, let me ask you this. When you're driving in the Orlando area, what are most of your trips? Are they resort to resort, resort to park, resort to – you know, someplace else?
Almost all of my trips are from the resort to either the outlet malls, I Drive, International Drive, where they have a lot of restaurants and touristy things, or to Universal. Mm. I basically do that triangle all day long. That's all I do. Now, when I first started driving there, I did not meet nearly as much resistance as I've been meeting in the last couple of weeks.
Really?
The gate guards, normally when I pull up, it's just like, I'm picking up a couple of guests. They go, oh, okay. And then they look at my car to see if I've got the Uber app on. Mm. Are you with Uber? And I was pulling into a certain resort that shall remain nameless, mm-hmm. but it rhymes with Pulled Peas Zest Resort. And the guy was actually kind of rude.
Really?
Now, when they tell you to stop, you stop. Mm. And I put the car in park, and I said, sir, and I pulled out my annual pass. I said, not only am I a Disney pass holder, I'm also a shareholder. Now, when a Disney employee tells me to do something, you bet your ass that I do it. Yeah. Because this is I consider this place my home.
Right.
Bye-bye. I can't speak for the other Uber drivers or Lyft drivers. But if they're not listening to your cast members, that's because they're stupid.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell me to listen to a cast member.
Yeah.
And almost every other person, honestly, about every other person outside of asking about the Gators, every other person that I've driven for in the last couple of weeks has asked me when Walt Disney is going to crack down on Uber being on property.
Crack down?
Yes.
Why? Why would they crack down on that?
Because a lot of them are coming from London, and they've had horrible strikes and all sorts of horrible open meetings between the taxi drivers and the mm-hmm. Uber drivers. There's been a lot of bad press over there. So, you know, they know that the taxi service do not like Uber drivers, and they realize mm-hmm. that Disney's not making a cut of the Uber fare.
I don't think they're making a cut of the Mears fare either.
Probably not. But if Disney was smart, they would reach out to Uber and say, hey, look, we want you to do this for us. So why don't you do this? Take a portion of your fee, send it to us, and mm-hmm. we'll promote it. It's a very simple solution, but they won't do that.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to be able to stop Uber and Lyft. I think the cat's way too far out of the bag to stop it anywhere, whether it's on Disney property or anywhere else. I just think the pricing model is too convenient. Do right. I take a $70 Mears or do I take a $15 Uber? That's a no-brainer to me.
Right.
But that's me. And I also do sometimes on weekends drive for Uber, so I can't complain. Right. All right, let's put a fork in this little baby and call it the Food and Wine Show. No. Let's start with some shout-outs. Number one, Carla sent us a trivia answer, but she also sent a link to her website, and I think everybody should go check this out. She does Cupcake Goddess. Okay, yep, it's cupcakegoddess.ca, and that's Canada, for those that don't know that, so don't get alarmed. But it looks like her family runs a great little cupcake business up in the Canadian area. So go check them out. I was on the website, and she's got some really nice goodies there. I was actually getting hungry looking at it. Also, some people have sent in the trivia answer this week is David S., Courtney C., Sean M., and Mitchell M. Sorry, it's all random, and we thank you for your answers. You were all right or gave very good answers, but that was that. And last but not least, our friend Terry sent us a question. She says, I have a question. I heard a rumor that cast members' name tags aren't necessarily their real name, that they are given a different name so that there isn't two Johns or two Kathys working in one area in case of complaints or positive customer feedback. Is this true? I've never heard of that. You get your name tag through HR, so it has to be your name. Now, the only time somebody may have on an incorrect name tag is if they left their name tag at home. There's usually in everybody's break room or manager office has a little box or bag or whatever of name tags, and you can pull one out and wear it because you have to have a name tag. So that is usually the only time that you'll, if you're calling your server and not answering you, it's probably because they're not wearing their own name. Right. And sometimes I've even had waitresses say, oh, my name is Carol, and she has, like, Deborah on her shirt.
Right. So, I've had that happen.
So, and then I said, well, why isn't it Deborah? And she says, because I left my name tagging on.
Right. Now, there is some truth to this when you deal with call center names for a couple of different reasons. And you're right. If they have multiple people in that call center with the same name, they will give another person a name tag. But certain call centers for certain aspects of what Disney does at the end of their training, at the end of their, what do they call the training?
Traditions
class. They get to pick their name off of a set of names on the wall. And they do that for a couple different reasons. And one of those reasons is, they want to make sure that, you know, they have the right person to give the criticism, both positive and negative. And then the best thing that I've heard that they say that they do that for is because if I'm in the call center and if John is having a bad day, I'm having a bad day, but when I put my name tag on, my name tag says Brent. You know, Brent's having a great day. It's a great day here at Disney. How may I help you? And then, you know.
Well, that's how we end the show. If you like the show, I'm Tony, he's John. If you don't like the show, he's Lou Mangello, and I'm Ricky Bricanti.
That's right. And that's worked well for us over the years. Maybe that's why their shows are so popular. We've been promoting them too much.
Hey, the other thing, too, talk about call centers. So I don't know if you know this, but the DVC call center now, if you're making a reservation with somebody at the call center there and you don't wrap up the whole thing, they give you now a PIN number. Mm. You write down the PIN number. And then when you call back, it'll ask you to punch in the PIN number, and then the phone call is directed back to the same person.
Oh, wow.
So that you don't have to tell them the whole story of your reservation. They already know why you're calling back.
That's brilliant.
So the DVC people started that. I don't know if they're rolling that out to all aspects of their call centers. I wish they would, because there are times that I would like to call somebody back, like making a dining reservation or something, and I need to add somebody or delete somebody or change it or whatever. I like to then just say, hey, it's me again. I just want to, you know, add somebody or take somebody off. But hey, that's just me. All right, kids, if you like what you hear, please, like I said at the top of the show, please try and share us this week. We'd really, 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 really would appreciate that, and we think it would be a lot of fun. You can find us at www.disneyparkspodcast.com, and you can find our blog there, our show there, our chat room, our events, all that kind of stuff that we're into, links to Magic Bands and all those kinds of, all the links are all there in our show notes and our sidebar. So go check us out there. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/Disney Parks Podcast and on Twitter at Disney Podcaster. So that's it, kids. And as we'd like to say around here, we'll see you in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through. One reach upon the star, your dream.